The Bible reading today comes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they drew near before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come at any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat that is on the ark, so that he may not die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. But in this way Aaron shall come into the holy place, with a bull from the herd for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and shall have the linen undergarment on his body, and he shall tie the linen sash round his waist, and wear the linen turban. These are the holy garments. He shall bathe his body in water, and then put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house. Then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel. And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord, and use it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. Aaron shall present the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and his house. He shall kill the bull as a sin offering for himself. And he shall take a censer full of coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of sweet incense, beaten small. And he shall bring it inside the veil, and put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is over the testimony, so that he does not die. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat on the east side. And in front of the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Thus he shall make atonement for the holy place, because of the uncleannesses of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so he shall do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of their uncleannesses. No one may be in the tent of meeting from the time he enters to make atonement in the holy place until he comes out and has made atonement for himself and for his house and for all the assembly of Israel. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all round. And he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and consecrate it from the uncleannesses of the people of Israel. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place, and the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall present the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself to a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness. Then Aaron shall come into the tent of meeting and shall take off the linen garments that he put on when he went into the holy place and shall leave them there. And he shall bathe his body in water in a holy place and put on his garments and come out and offer his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people and make atonement for himself and for the people. And the fat of the sin offering he shall burn on the altar. And he who lets the goat go to Azazel shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. And the bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried outside the camp. Their skin and their flesh and their dung shall be burned up with fire. And he who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body in water, and afterwards he may come into the camp. And it shall be a statute to you forever, that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves and shall do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest to you, and you shall afflict yourselves. It is a statute forever. And the priest who is anointed and consecrated as priest in his father's place shall make atonement, wearing the holy linen garments. He shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar, and he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. And this shall be a statute forever for you, that atonement may be made for the people of Israel once in the year because of all their sins. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Loving God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you gave it to us so that it would make us wise, so that by endurance and its encouragement we might have hope. And Father, we pray that you would be accomplishing that amongst us this morning, as you show us what a wonderful thing it is to be clean before you. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine with me you had a spotlessly clean home. Some of you maybe don't need to imagine. Others of you can't imagine that. But just wherever you're at, imagine you had a spotlessly clean home. And every week you invite the same friend into your house. And the problem is that your friend works in the sewers. I think that's something like a Klärwerkanlage. It's a hands-on job that your friend has. He comes straight from work to yours. And when he leaves after dinner, he leaves drips and smears and stains and a smell. Your home is no longer fit to live in. What do you do? I think you have two options. You clean or close. Either you close the door and keep your friend out. Sorry, can't have you over anymore. Real shame. Or you clean him and your house. Clean or close. This picture isn't perfect, but it helps us understand what's going on in Leviticus 16. God's house, this tent of meeting in the center of the camp of Israel, has been defiled. Ever since chapter 10, when Nadab and Abihu broke in an unauthorized manner It has been polluted by sin and death. And so God is faced with a choice. What will God do? Will he close or will he cleanse? Israel's dishonored God. They've defiled and polluted his house. They deserve to have God say it's all closed now. But God is a gracious God who cleans the unclean. Have a look at verse 32, just near the end of the chapter with me. Page 115. God cleans through an anointed priest. And the Hebrew for that is a Messiah. The Greek for that is a Christ. Moses is teaching his readers that cleanness is not what you and I do for God. Cleanness is what God does for us through his Christ. Can you imagine living in a world cleansed of death? Can you imagine having life that will never die, in a world that will never grow old and never grow dirty and never be spoiled? And can you imagine being clean on the inside, in your heart, in your mind, in your thoughts, in your desires, in your words, online, offline? Fully clean, fully alive. That is what God accomplishes through his Christ. That is where Leviticus 16 is taking us, a clean you in a clean world. Let's dive in then. First of all, Christ cleanses God's house, verses 1 to 20. And as you look through verses 1 to 20, you realize that the cleansing here is not the kind of quick wipe round that you do 10 minutes before people come over for coffee and cake. This is the full program. It's a full cleaning. It begins, verse 4, with Aaron having a bath. He swaps his royal priestly robes for plain clothes, linen undergarments. Once clean, he heads off to a local farm and he picks up two rams, two goats, and a bull. And he takes all those animals, verse 6, off to the tent of meeting, in the middle of the camp, and when he gets there, he kills the bull as a sin offering for him and his family. Once he's killed the bull, he takes a bucket full of hot coals, he throws incense, weihrauch, on it, and then he enters the holy place with this bucket and a bucket of bull's blood, one bucket in each hand. Verse 14, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the front of the mercy seat on the east side, and in front of the mercy seat he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. The mercy seat is in the very center of the tent. It's this slab on top of the Ark of the Covenant, the Bundeslade. On top of it stand two angels looking in with massive wings. This is where God dwelt on earth. And that's why Aaron needs the incense. The smoke cloud from the incense will keep Aaron from seeing God and dying. And so through the smoke, Aaron peers and smears blood on the mercy seat, and then he splatters it everywhere seven times. I wanted to bring tomato sauce with me, but I forgot, and the front row's too far away. But just imagine, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Verse 15, Aaron goes outside. He then kills the goat of the sin offering for the people. He brings that animal's blood back into the holy place, sprinkles it over and in front of the mercy seat. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Aaron is cleaning God's house from the inside out. First the holy place at the very inside, then the rest of the tent, then the outer court and the altar. And there in the outer court at the altar again, more blood. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. As Aaron cleanses God's house, not one corner remains for sin and death to lurk in, to hide in, to stain. And Moses highlights this for us in verse 14. Have a look at verse 14. Aaron has to sprinkle the east side of the mercy seat. And so that he could sprinkle the east side, presumably that meant he had to stand to the west of it so that he could then sprinkle the east side. And there's a significance in that. As Aaron cleanses God's house, he's driving sin out from west to east. The first west to east trip in the Bible was when Adam and Eve sinned and God banished sin from the Garden of Eden in the west into the east. And as God banished sin into the east, he kicked out Adam and Eve. Well, now Aaron's banishing sin off to the east, but he remains in God's presence. And so, by verse 16, God's house is fully clean. It's purified from sin. It has been ransomed from judgment. And that might sound a little weird. God's house is just basically a very big decathlon tent. Why would a very big tent need cleaning? Tents can't sin. We'll have a look at verse 16. Thus Aaron shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleannesses of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And so shall he do for the tent of meeting which dwells with them in the midst of the uncleannesses. And remember your buddy who you've been inviting over who works in the sewage plant. What if he didn't work at the sewage plant but in a nuclear waste disposal facility? And he brought that home to your home with him. Then your house wouldn't just be polluted, it would be dangerous. You'd have to pull it down. It would be in danger of destruction because of its pollution. That's something of the picture here. God's tent, God's house is contaminated, polluted, not just through Nadab and Abihu, but also through all God's people. The uncleannesses of the people, their transgressions, all their sins. It's not just Nadab and Abihu who are sinners. All of Israel were sinners. And sinners spread sin. God's house is polluted, contaminated, because it is in the midst of a sinful people. It needs cleaning, or it will be condemned and destroyed. The big surprise so far for the Old Testament reader is that this works. The surprise is that this works. And think back to Genesis. One of the things that's really important in chapters 1 and 2 of Genesis is that you and I, humans, are not the same as animals. Only humans are made in God's image, verse 1. Chapter 2, amongst all the animals, no helper was found fit for Adam. If no animal was found fit for Adam, then no animal is fit to save Adam or any of his descendants. Therefore, the blood of bulls and goats cannot cleanse from sin. Therefore, when Leviticus 16 announces that it provides a full atonement that truly cleanses God's house from sin, its power must come from another death, the death not of an animal, but of a man. See, what Moses is doing is show not tell. Moses is a genius. He is a master of show not tell. He is showing us without telling us that this full cleaning points to a future cleaning. And that's our next little heading, a future cleaning. Imagine that you are in a drone or a helicopter looking down on the tabernacle from above. You'll see it has three areas. The outer court, the tent of meeting, the holy place or the holy of holies. These three areas, again, remind us of Genesis. Genesis 2 describes the world, and in the world you have a place called Eden. And in Eden, you have a garden where Adam and Eve meet with God. The tabernacle is designed to look like the Garden of Eden. so that as Aaron cleanses it, it looks like he's cleaning Eden, disinfecting it from sin and death, restoring God's new Eden house. There's more here, though. See, the book of Exodus has already described the tabernacle in great detail, and Moses doesn't repeat all these details in chapter 16 because he assumes we'll just look them up in Exodus. Exodus tells us that in that outer court, there is a great big basin called a sea, made of mirrors, bronze mirrors, reflecting the sky. Next to the basin, there is also a massive altar made of earth. Earth, sea, sky. Echoes of Genesis 1. As you go from the outer court inner level into the tent of meeting, it's all dark inside. It's decorated with colours of the night sky, scarlet, purple, dark blue. Hanging from the tent's roof are not lovely shiny LEDs, but 70 lights. And the word for those lights is the same word used in Genesis 1 for the stars. So that as you look up in the tent, it looks like the heavens. Aaron moves through earth, sea, sky, and climbs up into the heavens. Then as he goes into the final area, the Holy of Holies, he passes by a curtain with two cherubim, two angels on it, and he ascends into the highest heavens, the throne room of God. So that as Aaron cleanses this tabernacle in the desert, it's not just like he's cleansing Eden. It's like he is cleansing earth, sea, sky, the heavens of the heavens, and God's own throne room. What Aaron acts out, Jesus has accomplished. Listen to how the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, picks up on this. It was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things, that's the tabernacle, to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, the tabernacle, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. What Jesus did at the cross was cleansing heaven itself. And Jesus now spreads that cleanness over men and women all over the earth, over all who turn to him in faith. And soon Jesus will spread that cleanness from heaven, not just to men and women and boys and girls who believe in him, but to the whole creation, the whole planet. I'm old enough, it's one of my favourite sentences to say, and particularly in the evening service where they're a bit younger than you lot. I'm old enough, though, to remember black and white TV. Just humour me, who has owned a black and white TV? Oh, that is far fewer than I'd hoped for. Black and white TV, I can remember we had one in our kitchen when I was young. And then when we got the colour TV, switching to that, it was like a whole new world. Everything was sharper and more lively and more... it was new. You and I have only ever seen things in black and white, as it were. Clothed and coloured in death. The dust of death is on everything and everyone you've ever seen. You have never, ever seen anything that is not dusted in death. It often looks like death is all we'll see. Sometimes it looks like death is swallowing this world whole. Maybe this morning it looks to you like death is swallowing you. And yet Leviticus 16 is promising us that you shall see death wiped off the face of the earth. No more death in the news. No more death in seas and cities and countryside. No more battlefields and hospitals. No more graveyards and crematoriums, no more death in homes, no more death of memories, no more death of minds, no more death of bodies, no more death of relationships, no more death of dreams, no more graves, no more goodbyes, no more loss, no more loneliness, no more ache. Everything shall be alive, sparkling with life, when the Lord Jesus extends the cleansing that he did at the cross from the heavens to all this world. And if you're believing in Jesus, you shall see it and be part of it and rejoice in it. It'll be better than colour TV. And that brings us to our second big heading. The first one, Christ cleans God's house. Secondly, Christ cleans God's people, 21 to 28. Earlier, Aaron collected two goats. One of them has already died. Now it's time for the other one to step onto the stage for a moment and then step off. Look at verse 21. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins, and he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness, the desert, by the hand of a man who is in readiness. If you're into highlighting Bibles, then the word to highlight in verse 21 is the word all. If you were an Old Testament Israelite and you sinned by accident, or you sinned deliberately in a small thing, you could atone for that sin through the sacrifices of chapters 4 and 5. But what if you really messed up? Really messed up. Not just the type of thing you don't want to tell the person sitting next to you, the type of thing you don't want to remember yourself. So far, in the book of Leviticus, there has not been any sacrifice that will atone for you. God remains holy, and your sin sticks to you like a stain you cannot rub away. And then comes the day where the anointed priest, the Christ, atones for all God's people's sins, all iniquities, all transgressions, no matter how big, how unspeakable, all of them. And what happens to your sin on this day? It leaves you and is put on this goat. Verse 22, the goat shall bear all their iniquities on itself into a remote area, and he shall let the goat go free in the wilderness, so that you stay amongst God's people and you see this goat leave and never come back, carrying with it all your transgressions, all your sins, all your iniquities, all your shame, all your guilt, gone for good. The wilderness is the place of death and curse and decreation in Leviticus. Literally, in verse 22, it's a cut-off land. The Old Testament uses cut-off language to talk about God's wrath. Think Isaiah 53, which Daniel read for us earlier. Jesus was cut off from the land of the living. So this goat is cut off, and with it all your sin. Carried away, cut off, exiled from the face of the earth, not yours to hold on to anymore. Not anyone else's to be held against you. God has turned his back on your sin, but he's not turned his back on you. And then Aaron returns to the tent. It's shower time again. He washes, he takes off his normal clothes, he puts back on the high priestly clothes. He then offers burnt offerings to make atonement for himself and for the people. And these burnt offerings atone by ransoming, rescuing the worshipper from God's wrath, God's judgment, by purifying them from sin's defilement, and then by consecrating the worshipper, the people of God, for God's service. The burnt offering here is a ram. Again, Aaron puts his hand on it. He identifies the people with it. The ram is slain and then it's burnt on a fire before the Lord. It pictures the worshipper dying and rising again into the Lord's presence. And then after this, there's a massive cleanup operation. The leftovers from all the sacrifices are burnt outside the camp. The guy who took the goat away, the guy who burns the leftovers, both of them have to hit the showers, and then they return to camp. In all of this, as we read this, we are not Aaron, or the guy doing the leftovers, or the guy taking the goats out. We're the people of Israel, watching this being done for us. So imagine watching these three men return to camp, or are these two men and Aaron returning from the tabernacle? All this time, all this day, all you could do is watch and wait. You can't lift a finger to clean yourself. Anything you do to either speed the process up or try and help the process by cleaning yourself, that'll just make you more dirty. You can only watch and wait and trust that your Christ is enough for you. And as they come back, how do you know you're clean? There's no sign from heaven. There's no green neon light in the skies, job done. You might still feel dirty. Your conscience might still accuse you. Your neighbor who knows about your sin might still look awkwardly at you, might still accuse you, condemn you. But you know you're clean because your Christ has returned from the presence of God, bringing God's word with him. Verse 30. Look at verse 30. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you from all your sins. And therefore, if you trust God's word about his Christ, you can face death without fear. You can silence every accusation from your neighbor or from the devil. You can rejoice. My Christ has cleansed me. God says that I am clean. His wrath is gone. And I am welcome in his people among his presence. I'm not homeless in this universe. Remember, Moses remains the master of show not tell. Again, if you were an Israelite watching Aaron at work, what would you have seen? Well, you'd see an anointed priest, a Christ, cleansing you from death and sin, your sin cut off from the face of the earth. But more than that, those final sacrifices for the people, Aaron was wearing the high priestly clothes again. The ones that have the jewels on the breastplate and on the shoulder with the names of the people of God written into them. So that you have seen your Christ carry you on his shoulders and on his heart into God's presence. When Adam and Eve sinned and God banished them from their home in Eden, exiling them east, remember he put cherubim, angels with flaming swords outside the garden, cutting us off from God's presence. And yet on the Day of Atonement, you see a Christ going from east to west into the tabernacle, past the cherubim, returning to Eden, with the names of God's people on his chest, as he carries us into a new Eden of life in God's presence. You're seeing the gospel lived out, aren't you? You're seeing our hope for the future of God welcoming us into his presence, his Eden, his home. And Moses showed his readers this because he wanted them to see what the final Christ, the Lord Jesus, would do at the cross. Christ has cleansed God's house. He's cleansed God's people. And as we come to the end of Leviticus 16, Moses drives this home for us in two ways by saying, this is for you and this is forever. This is for you. Look at verses 29 to 34. Do you see the word you cropping up there? Verse 29, for example, you shall afflict yourselves. In other words, you're watching this, but you're watching this as someone participating in it. Your watching is your participating. You stop working on this day as you watch another work for you. You watch someone do what you can't do for yourself. Because you know this is for you. This is for your sins. Your priest dealing with your sins. You are clean before the Lord from all your sins. And notice in verse 29, this is for Israelite and for the sojourner, for the foreigner. This cleansing is for all who will hear and believe. It's for you if you will trust Jesus Christ. Do you want to be clean? Do you want to be deeply clean? Clean conscience and clean before God Almighty, your Creator? Ask Jesus. And he will cleanse you and make you his. It's for you. Secondly, this is forever. Verse 34, this shall be a statute forever for you, that atonement may be made for the people of Israel once in the year because of all their sins. Just imagine meeting someone after the Day of Atonement, the day after. And you just ask them why they're smiling and say, oh, it's brilliant. Yesterday was the Day of Atonement. Do you know what's happened to all my sin? No, what's happened to all your sin? It's gone that way. It's out. It's nothing to do with me anymore. Hallelujah. And you go, gosh, that's rather good. Or if you're slightly more enthusiastic than the British, you might go, hallelujah. But you ask one final question just to understand, how long are you clean for? And the smile just falls from the Israelite's face. Oh, I'm clean until I next mess everything up. The Leviticus sacrifice in chapter 16 is forever, verse 34, because it constantly needs repeating. But the sacrifice it points to, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus at the cross, is once and for all. It is forever because it needs no repeating. It lasts forever. So if you're a Christian this morning, if you're trusting Jesus, you are as clean can be, and you are clean forever because of what Jesus has done for you. And you know how clean you'll be tomorrow? As clean can be because of what Jesus has done for you. And here's the real brain melter. Do you know how clean you'll be the next time you really mess things up? As clean can be, because of what Jesus has done for you. Because your Christ is for you forever. He's cleansed you and he's carrying you home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have done for us what we could never in a million years have done for ourselves. That you have cleansed us and you've cleansed your house, and that you, through the Lord Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, are taking us to a glorious future where death will be wiped off the face of the earth. Father, we long for this. And we praise you for making us clean. In Jesus' name, amen.